God bless you for tuning in. I believe this will be an encouragement. I believe with all my heart that we just don't give you a message, but we give you something that you can implement right now where you're at that will cause you to be all that God has called you to be, and that's victorious and mighty. Amen? I want to talk to you this morning. You probably haven't been to the newest conference that will tell you on their marquee out there, come, where you learn how to, trials are coming and hardships and testings, and come here and learn all about them. You probably, most people would flee from that. They want to hear how love, and we want to hear about how faith will just change everything. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you haven't been encountering hard times, trials, wilderness experiences, I'm going to tell you, if you are experiencing them, you're right into God's mix. Now, I'm going to tell you something that coming out of movements. Used to be people said, boy, if you only had more faith. If you had more faith, you would never have to deal with sickness. You'd never have to deal with trials and wilderness experiences. I got news for you. Faith does not keep you out of the storms. Amen. Faith takes you through the storms. It empowers you to get through, to clean up what needs to be cleaned so we can come out as that bride. Amen? So this morning, I want to bring encouragement to all you that have been going through what you might even say hell, challenges beyond measure. You may even be dealing with your business closing. You may be dealing with loved ones that seem wayward. I'm here to tell you, you're right on the tip of something that's called big. And it's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We've been learning this glory that's coming to the church, that's going to be manifesting, and people are going to run to you and want what we got. And what we got that they need is Jesus. Amen. It's not a formula. It's not some kind of obscure something. It's Jesus. And everybody can have their own living experience with Him right where they're at. He doesn't hide in a church. He doesn't hide in a particular location. He goes with us. It's called the temple that we represent. And if you're young, you don't have a young Holy Ghost. If you're old, you don't have an old, decrepit Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Ghost. And when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you got Him. The whole package, the kingdom came Amen. With that. So you got every tool that you need. But let me tell you, just because you got the Holy Ghost and God Himself in us does not keep us from going through tough times, hardships, trials, temptations. All those things are part of living on this earth. And thank God we got someone that takes us through. I'm going to start with a couple scriptures that I believe will be pertinent. You know, I've read the last week was sharing about this shaking out of Hebrews 12. It talks about once again, as God fine-tunes things, He's going to shake heaven and earth. And everything that's man-made is going to be shaken off us. That only the purified, that which is of Christ, is going to remain. Well, at the very beginning of Hebrews 12, we know a famous scripture that says, run the race that God has set before us. I'm in verse 1. Lay aside every weight and that sin or those bad choices that so easily upends you. Look to Jesus. What are we trying to introduce people to? Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. Verse 3, consider Jesus, who endured the hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. If you're getting weary, if you're getting discouraged, consider Jesus. He's our forerunner. We always like to say what Jesus did, we'll do in greater. We take John 14, 12. The works that He did, we'll do in greater because we're more places. But you got to realize if we're tracking Jesus' example, what He went through means we can go through it. If He went through hard times and temptations and trials, then that means that we are going to go through them. But going through them, we can look to come out just like He did and come out in the power. Amen? And come out in the strength. Look with me if you got your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And again, my encouragement as you've tuned in today is don't grow weary in whatever you're going through. Because trust me, we're all going through things. And if you haven't gone through things, get ready, because you're going to go through things, but you're not going through them alone. Verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 4, this is New Testament. It says, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with that same mind. If Christ on earth suffered in the flesh and we're being challenged to arm ourselves with that same mind, that means that we're going to go through some things in our flesh. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Down to verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Now, we may be closer than we've ever thought of the end of all things are at hand. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. One thing we found, and this was National Week of Prayer, as we gathered, there are people around our country that have been intensifying prayer. Prayer's been breaking through. Above all things, here we go, church, have fervent love one for another. For love covers a multitude of sin. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to others. Now look at me, church. Are we all ministers? Did we all get gifts? It says use those gifts. Sometimes people don't even realize you're supposed to do that. And it says in verse 11, if you speak the word of God. Let him do it with all their ability, which God supplies in all things. Verse 12, and if you don't have this underlined, this is so pertinent. It's New Testament. Beloved or believers, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Oh, beloved, are going to have fiery trials. Yes, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. As some strange thing happening to you. Many believers think when they go through hard times, or we're going through this COVID-19, or we're going through isolation, oh my gosh, the world, it's like the little, what was it, a duck that said the world is falling. It's not falling. It was a chicken? All right. Way to be students of the nursery rhymes. So don't think it strange, but rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed. Now, didn't I just share with you last week in Isaiah 60? Darkness will be on the earth, gross darkness on the people, but arise and shine, for his glory is going to be seen. So that when this glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. See, it looks like it's dark. It looks like, oh my gosh, this has failed. Oh my gosh, I got canned. Don't have a job, or I got laid off. Da 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 da. And we can get overtaken by that. But the Lord says, grow not weary. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, I'm at verse 14, blessed are you. The Holy Ghost of glory and of God is resting upon you. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, don't be ashamed, for the time has come. And here's where we see, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Another translation says, the shaking. God is shaking first the church. What did I read you in Hebrews 12? That which cannot stand, or it's man-made, is being shaken. Religious tradition is being shaken off the church. Things that have been done for man's benefit and not God's is being shaken off the church. There is a groundswell of believers realizing that the body of Christ are not at aught, or we're not each other's enemies, because the name of our building may say Shield of Faith, and another one says United Methodist, or another one says Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the church is shaking to this place where they realize there's only one body of Christ. And we may look a little bit different, but the head of it is Jesus. And that's what's shaking off. And that has come. God, the judgment is not you bad people. The judgment is, I'm getting rid of that stuff that doesn't need to belong there. Amen. And I'm free in the body of Christ to be free to go and be movers of God's kingdom. There was something I learned years ago when I was studying this hardship and going through these trials. And I studied the butterfly and how the butterfly comes to be this beautiful butterfly. And it starts as a worm. Has anybody ever felt like a worm? And this worm goes into this cocoon and spends all his time and goes into this almost like a quarantine, a hibernation time. And what I've found that people hate to have that worm to be in there because they know inside there is coming out a butterfly. So people, scientists, have thought, well, let's help that butterfly get out. And they tear the cocoon open. And what happens, because that butterfly did not have the whole time of the struggling and building, it dies. But because it's allowed to go through the process of being isolated and being in this place where it's waiting for everything and struggling to get out, it puts what it needs to into its system. So it comes out as this beautiful butterfly. I'm telling you, we've been in hibernation. We've been in the wilderness. We've been in the desert. You've had some hard times, but don't try to get ahead of God. He's taking you through because he's making us butterflies. Yes. They're going to soar and be all that God has called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Now, Revelations chapter 12. I got to throw this in because this puts it in perspective. In chapter 12, if you look at my caption tells us what this is about. It's about threefold. It's about the woman, the child, and the dragon. Now, the woman represented, at this particular point, it was representing the messianic community, those that were getting saved during Jesus' time. But now theologians say this woman is representing the bride. It's representing the church. So when we see it in that light, when the Lord is referring to, or John being used by the Holy Ghost to give the credence to that, the woman is the prepared bride. The child is Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our King. And the dragon is what? The devil and his horde. And it says this in verse 6. Then the woman went into the wilderness, where she was in a place prepared by God. The church has been in the wilderness, in a place prepared by God, that they should feed her for a number of days. Verse 7, the war is broken out in heaven. Michael and his angels are fighting. What is shaking besides earth? Heaven. And his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. Verse 9. So the great dragon gets cast out, the serpent of old. He's called the devil, or who? Satan. Who deceives, listen church, who deceives the whole world. The whole purpose of Satan and his demonic horde is to deceive the world, which includes the body of Christ. He's been the god of this world who's blinded us to realizing that we're butterflies in the making. He's blinded us thinking, oh my gosh, you're done. It's not going to be like what you thought. No, he's a liar. Yep. And the truth is not in him, but it's in us. Amen. We have discernment to realize what's happening in the earth. And it's not just America, 180 some nations. I don't even know how many total nations there are. But this devil has been blinding the world. And thank God the body of Christ is standing up and taking back what's ours. Amen. It's called the bride of Christ. And it says, verse 9, called to Satan. He's deceiving the whole world. He's been cast down to earth. Slip down, if you got your Bibles, to verse 11. And they, the church, the body of Christ, defeats the devil by, number one, the blood. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you defeat the devil by the blood that you're covered in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the word of our testimony. Amen. Listen to me, church. You want a testimony, you got to go through a test. This hard times, this wilderness experience are tests that we go through. When you go through it, you get a testimony. And we defeat the forces of God, not because we have an easy life, nothing ever happens to us. We have a testimony that defeats the enemy because the Lord doesn't leave us in the test, but he's there with us by the power of the Holy Ghost and takes us through. In the third area, and they did not love their lives unto death. No greater love. Now look, church, you might not think you got a testimony, But I'll bet you, if you would be honest, most of us have been through some real serious tests. Sometimes I tell people the harder the test, there must be a real powerful testimony coming out. Amen. I don't know about you, but there's not an ad I see more often than not. It's the pillow guy. And oh my gosh, how does he afford to have all these ads on any station? The pillow guy. And then I realize how it works. This guy has got a great testimony because he went through a test. Amen. He was a crack addict. He thought he wasn't going to get out of Mexico, and he almost died. But because he didn't, he's got a testimony. And that testimony now is a book that's revolutionizing people to give them hope. I always tell people, whatever you've gone through and been tested in, you're going to be a powerful witness to beat up the devil, to help free others that are going through that area. So however traumatic you think it was to you, or you wives or husbands that have been believing for spouses that finally got saved and finally gave their hearts to the Lord, just realize this. They are a tool to be powerfully used to set many people free because they got a testimony, and you got a testimony. Mothers, you got testimonies. If you've seen your kids go wayward, I heard the sound of shaking coming together. The prodigals are coming home, and they're coming home because you defeat the devil, because you got a testimony, because you've been through a test. Believe in God for your loved ones. Thank God it doesn't come easy, but it cometh in Jesus' name. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 23, and many times people only see that psalm when it comes to doing a funeral. But that's not how the psalmist saw it. He's declaring and decreeing that the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I have no want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. A lot of people, ooh, that's great, that's great. He takes me through the valley of the shadow of death when we're going through our wilderness and hard times. He doesn't leave us in it. He takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. For he is with us. His rod, his staff is comforting us. And he's anointing us with Holy Ghost. Out of our belly flows rivers of Holy Ghost. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. All the days. Say, all my days. All my days. And we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to spend eternity forever. There is no death to a Christian sting. It's just spending eternity with the body of Christ for forever. I'm going to give you a key thing. Age doesn't mean anything in heaven. We're all going to be about 30 years young, and we're going to have a good time forever. Devil has no sting. If you go a little bit further in the Psalmist in 34, we like that. But the emphasis I want to give you in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of righteous men and women. Many. That means if you're righteous, and how do we become righteous? By making who Lord of our lives? So you're promised, if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, many are going to be the afflictions you go through. But the promise is, but he will deliver you through them all. All. We get delivered through them all. No matter how hard it seems of whatever you're going through. Sometimes we can look at us and say, God, what? We've been praying for this person. Why do they have to go through it? We can't be like the person to break the worm out of the cocoon. Whatever reason, God is making this person stronger, more powerful, because he knows what he's doing even when we can't figure it out. And please stop beating yourself up if you've been going through hell. Because you're going through it, you're not staying in it. And it's a good news. It's a good challenge. James chapter 1. Sorry, Pastor Mike, I'm giving you all kinds of things. James, New Testament. To believers, this is what it says. My brethren, yours may say believers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm going to stop right there for a second. We are to count it joy when we go through tribulation, hard times, trials, quarantines. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you go through these various trials. Remember, righteous men and women. You're going to go through afflictions, but the Lord says he'll deliver you out of them all. It's not a bad thing if you're going through hard times. You're going to come out and be powerful. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you end up perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Now I'm going to jump over to verse 12 because it's very important that you understand something. When you're going through these trials, when you're going through these challenges, it's not the Lord that's testing and trying you. He's the one that's going with you through them. And it says this, blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation. When they've been approved, they will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, let no one say when they're tempted, I'm tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt you with evil. But here's the part, church. This is part of the butterfly process. But each one, and this is not to the world, this is to believers, but each one is tempted when they're drawn away. And who's the tempter again? Not Jesus. It's who? Each of us are tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires, addictions. Can't help, got to have that. And you know it's not good for you. You know it's not going to benefit you. It's not the Lord that's presenting those things to you. It's called you're still living in this flesh, and God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he allows us to make our own choices. Good choices, good results. Bad choices, bad results. Stay with me. Good choices, good results. God's happy because fathers and moms are happy when kids make good choices. Bad choices, God still loves us, doesn't love us any less. Don't have to get forgiveness. He's already forgiven us of our bad choices, our sins, our stupid choices. But he's there to help us get through it so we don't stay in the mess. Heaven could come quicker for some, but the point is the Lord says the tempting comes when we make bad choices. So, when you get in the mirror, don't beat yourself up, but tell yourself, I'm going to learn to make better choices. I don't need that in my life because that's not helpful to me, nor is it a blessing to others, because I'm not just going to think about me. I want to be around as a healthy mother, a healthy father, to be able to give that to others. Amen? So this is how it works, but we're supposed to count it all joy when we go through this. Isn't it kind of exciting to note that when our brothers and sisters are going through hard times, that God's got their good? And he wants them to get through so he can free them of that. Our role is this, church. Remember, fervent and loving one another? We love one another without trying to get them to walk our walk. I learned a long time ago, the things that the Lord says to get out of my life and get out of my wife's life, I am not to project that on others, but I am to live the life and do everything I can to make the right choices. And hopefully people will want, what is it that you're doing that could be helpful to me? Then you've got a key. It's by our example. The Bible says, let them see our walk and not hear it. All we do is drive people away. We're in this battle. We're in this COVID-19 thing. We're going to win. We're going to come out.
Amen.
We're going to come out stronger. I hope healthier. I hope we realize we can make right choices.
Yes.
And our role, there is no condemnation from Jesus, but there should be no condemnation on us. That's why this that we're doing now, we don't know the actual day that we're going to be freed for the whole body to come back, but what we're not going to do is project ourselves on somebody else, make somebody feel bad if they're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. We're not going to get on other churches if they're already back in services and not because they're our brothers and sisters touching out. God's anointed, and everybody that's a believer is an anointed. If they're choosing to stay out or going back, doesn't make them better or worse than us. It gives us this dimension of sowing our love and giving people space to grow themselves in the things of God. Isn't that a fun place to be at?
Yeah.
This week when I ran through and I was called to pray for a nation at a church, and everybody was, you had different people at different places, and it wasn't, well, you bad person or you good person. We're together in whatever means that means, and that's how it's going to be. And that's what we want to be, an encouragement to one another, because God wants us to realize, count it all joy. Yes. When I look at the pillow guy, I don't even know what his name is, but and I'm thinking, Mike Lindell, God bless you, Mike Lindell. I was getting, oh my gosh, do we have to go through another pillow ad? Another, now it's sheets and all this. But now when I see he's got a testimony, now I understand. He's going to be used powerfully to set other people free. My most effective areas in my life is because of the things I've had to go through myself. It hasn't been a piece of cake. People says, well, if I only had faith like you, I'd have a marriage and all this. No. You only need faith when you're going through hard times. You don't need it when everything's going good. That person that can't get off that addictive behavior, whether it's a drug or it's the drug of food, that person needs our encouragement and our love and our prayers, not our condemnation. Exactly. And in doing so, they're going to want to be freed, whatever that looks like and means to them. But I found something as I look back in history. Michelangelo, over 500 years ago, my wife and I on a missionary trip had the honor to be able to visit the chapel, Sistine Chapel in Rome, Vatican. And we got to see this mural that's, talk about a good painter. I mean, 500 years and still standing. Did you know that this guy on his back forever painted this was considered legally blind? Do you know that Beethoven, my wife will know this, do you know that Beethoven, who composed these beautiful symphonies and so forth, do you know that his last 10 years when he was being used powerfully, he was legally deaf? Do you remember when I shared with you Thomas Edison, how they got a hold of him at his plant in Detroit, was burning down, his son came, Dad, Dad, it's burning down. He says, get your mom. This is going to be a sight to be seen. And they went and they looked at this whole thing burning down with all his inventions and all his things in there. And they said, how can you be at peace? He says, because it just got rid of all my failures too. So he was able to see, I'm just going through something. And I'm going to come out sweeter on the other end. I wrote down a quote I found from somebody called Aristotle, 380 some years before Christ. He said it this, you are what you repeatedly do. In other words, whatever we're repeatedly doing is who we become. And I'm saying we're getting better in that area to repeatedly do that which is going to cause us to come out as strong butterflies and make a difference. I want to close with this scripture in Luke, Jesus, the commander-in-chief, Luke chapter 4. I want you to note you're right on track if you've been going through hard times or you've been going through wilderness experiences or you've been going through just what you think is unbelievable, tough time in your life. Remember, Jesus gave up his deity to experience what you and I experience down here on earth. Jesus gets baptized in the Jordan River. He's 30 years young. And at that moment, the doves come. We know the sound. The Holy Ghost comes, fills him to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. You would think at that point, because he's the king, man, he's going to wipe out all the enemy. He's going to have a piece of cake. Sometimes we think, we project to people, give your hearts to the Lord and it'll be a piece of cake. No, come to the Lord and many will be the afflictions. But the Lord will deliver you out of them all. Count it all joy. Our kids need to realize you're going to go through some things. It's going to be okay because you're going to come out stronger. Endure. Think it not strange. Verse 1 says this, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many are filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. Do you know the same Holy Ghost that filled Jesus is the same Holy Ghost we got, right? Yes. He didn't shed anything. Everything Jesus got, we got. Oh, boy. He returned from the Jordan, and everything was a piece of cake, and he just had power and strength. Oh, no. It says that Holy Ghost took him into the wilderness. You're kidding me. What kind of Holy Ghost took Jesus and put him out in the wilderness to be tempted 40 days by the devil? That don't sound like a good Holy Ghost. He took our Savior. He's just got filled. He's bubbling up. He's ready to conquer and set free. He gets led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Ghost we got. Huh. To be tempted 40 days. Well, we've been in this thing quite a while, right? Probably over 40 days by now. The devil now says to him, "You're the Son of God." He even knew that. Change this, because he's hungry. He hadn't eaten anything. Change this. Man, he gives him the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So, of course, the devil tempts him in this way. "Get behind me, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God. He alone shall you serve." Of course, he's still tempting him, telling him, "Throw yourself down. The angels will hold you up." And Jesus just continuously, I could just see Jesus just continuously hit him with the word. Hit him with the word. We're not to be hitting our president or our governor. We hit them with the word. Amen. We hit them with the word. They're not our enemies. We're our worst enemy if we look at it that way, because we don't realize death and life is in the power of our tongue. Amen. And we can either speak life or we can speak death. I'm praying for our governor's heart to be softened, that will be sensitized. Don't be praying that she somehow gets taken out. Pray that she's sensitized and she comes to a living experience that she all of a sudden will love the babies in the wombs. Jesus. She will love the seniors in their facilities, and it will be pro-family and pro-relation. Because you know what? We're praying that the God of this world will take the blinders off, that they will see clear. Pharaoh's heart was softened and it was hardened by the Lord. And the same way we pray for our president. Keep him surrounded with wise counsel. Move his heart where it needs to go. It's got the betterment of our nation. One nation under God. Indivisible. Liberty and justice for all. And this is how I'm going to wrap it up. You that have gone through some wilderness and you're going through more wilderness, and why isn't it just falling into place? Well, God, are you even there? Oh, yeah, he's there. Remember what I said? Faith doesn't place you in the wilderness. Faith takes you through it. Amen. Jesus hit him with the word, went through his hard times by the Holy Ghost. Faith is believing in Abba Daddy. He went through it. And this is what it says in verse 14. Then Jesus returned from the wilderness experience in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, what I'm believing, as we have been in dormant state, we've been just girding ourselves up, the body of Christ is coming out of their wilderness experiences. They're coming out of their hard times. They're coming out of their confinement in the power. It's not their power, even though they have it within them. It's the power of God, called the Holy Ghost, that's within them. Greater is he that's in us than the forces of hell that are against us. Jesus defeated the devil, gave us the keys to the kingdom, and these keys wasn't now you defeat the devil. The keys were to keep him at bay, because I've already destroyed him. I've already given you the keys. I've already given you authority over death, hell, and the grave. Now just occupy, like he told Adam and Eve in the garden, it's all yours, rule and reign. He's telling the body of Christ, go rule and reign. We are ruling and reigning over our communities. That's why Saginaw is going to succeed. That's why this region which we're, that's why Marion Springs where we live. We get up every day. We're still saying our prayers. God, we bind the God of this world and we loose the body of Christ. Some isolated Marion Springs area. God knows it. And God has given us all areas to take authority over. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to close with this. If you've been through it, or if you're not through it, and you're in it, and you did not like the doctor's report, or you did not like the business report, or you did not like the report you heard about your kids, you're going through it. Yes. And you're going to come out in power. Yes. Not because Pastor Weldon says that, it's because Jesus said that. Amen. This body that he's raising up is to do great exploits. So I invite, if you've tuned in today and you're wondering, this sounds all good, but how do I get in? Just give your heart to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I'm tired of butting heads. I need you in my life. And you know what? He's already forgiven you on the cross. So when you identify with him, you get his kingdom. What a package. Sounds like that's not fair. We get the whole thing by just saying, Jesus, I want you as the head of my life. And he comes in, doesn't beat you down, doesn't tell you to clean up 600 things and then come back. No, he says, I'll take you just like you are. Aren't we grateful for that? And I'm going to encourage you, if you've got those that are tuned in and you know they need to get free, they need to get set free, and they're in condemnation big time, share this. Let others know that they're mighty children of God, and God wants to use them in a mighty way. And Father, I pray for right now, not only those that are listening, but those that made you Lord of their life. And we pray that it's the beginning of a major breakthrough in their community. And Lord, I pray that as you equip them, they'll be ready to behold and be used in a powerful way. As you raise up this bunch of dry bones and they become a mighty army and they take back their areas for you, Lord. And all of us in agreement, whether you're viewing or here, we said, amen. Amen. So be it. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And if you need prayer, we pray.